Get into the, Lord willing, here, the fifth chapter of Hebrews. If you didn't make it last week, we got through a whole four verses. So we just got held up in that throne of grace. And I hope you're still there. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful place to be. So thank the Lord. But again, Hebrews, the better, the better, the better. And I appreciate Brother Copley just bringing that out so much about Paul and again his message to his kinsmen and to us, that it's better, 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 and into the best that God has for us. Such a precious thing. And again, in that fourth chapter, we read about the better rest. And there's only really one rest and true rest for a Christian. And that is there in the 10th verse where, by the grace of God, we need to cease from our own works. When we get to that point and understand it's all on the Lord, what amazing things can happen in our lives. Hallelujah. When we get involved with things and we try to put ourselves out there, we're gonna mess it up. We're gonna get the leaven. We're gonna get away from the things of God into ourselves, and we're not gonna grow. So again, we understand it's grace. And last week we ended with that 16th verse that we would come boldly. And by the grace of God tonight, we're coming boldly to the throne of grace. And each time we meet, each time we get together, each time you seek the Lord, know that's your Father's throne room. And know that He expects you, through the name of His Son, to enter that throne room. Isn't that precious? Again, that is your Father. You are His Son, and Jesus Christ is your Lord. It don't get any better than that, huh? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's read the fifth chapter here, and then, Lord willing, we'll get into it. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of his way, out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh dishonor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself, to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. And notice that, they're not hard to be uttered unless you're dull of hearing. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which by the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, from the fifth chapter to really the tenth, through the tenth chapter, are the benefits of our Savior and His priesthood. And this is the better priesthood, starting in the fifth chapter. The high priest as compared with the weak Aaron. The God of our fathers ordained Aaron and his lineage to that position. So God ordained Christ to the final and true high priest. Now we've already been introduced to this high priest and this thought in Hebrews 2:17, Hebrews 3:1, and Hebrews 4:14. And never was there or ever can be another of such dignity, majesty, and glory. It's the greatness of our great high priest. See, he wasn't just the son of man. He's the son of God. Hallelujah. He's without sin. He's from the order of Melchizedek. His ordination was an oath from God. Not just man, but from God. Hallelujah. And his title and office is now forever, and it's finished. So now let's get into verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Notice that he was taken from men. He must be or partake from the nature of those on the behalf that he acts. He couldn't know us. He had to enter. God's plan is so perfect. He had to be bone of our bone. Flesh of our flesh. Our nature. And why? Again, because it was God's plan. It pleased him that he would enter this weak, weak vessel and become victorious for us. See, if he was just the high God and never entered in to understanding what we go through, how could we be comforted? But in every way, he was tempted. He was tried. He's been there. It's not just empathy. He's been there. He's been tried in every way so that he could comfort us. And again, this is our great high priest. Ordained for men. For God so loved the world that he died. Again, he would have had all men to be saved, but he knew that all men wouldn't be saved. But if he didn't want all men to be saved, he'd be a respecter of persons. Would he not? Whom he foreknew. I had to go through that again this week. Seems like I meet somebody that wants to just say, aren't you so thankful that you were so good and honored and so favored that you were predestinated to heaven, and that poor old chap over there was just predestinated to hell. That's not what the scripture says. God cannot lie. He can't contradict himself either. And he's no respecter of persons. Okay? Amen. Amen. See, if you get caught up into things like that, you're not going to grow in grace. You're going to think it was something that you did. It was a gift. It was a free gift. Hallelujah, that we know this. Praise God. But we go to God through Christ. He is our mediator. I was thinking that we have the Holy Father. He ain't in Rome. He's not in Rome. Uh-uh. We have that Holy Father, don't we? Hallelujah. And we have the mediator to him. And we have the great high priest. Don't we? Hallelujah. If we don't, and it's not even second. I wouldn't even go there. You know what I'm saying. But having that introduction, having that boldness to go. If he be for us, who can be against us? He wants us to go. That's a promise for us to take, to dwell before the throne room. He was ordained for me and you. And again, it is so personal, isn't it? Hallelujah. He came to do what man could not do, to give us favor with God, acceptance again that we could go boldly to the throne. And notice again that it's him that does the offering. Acknowledge that our all is of him, it's from him, due him, to him, that everything is in our great high priest. Thank God. It has been done. That he offered himself as the sacrifice. On Calvary, he was the lamb, and he ascended as the great high priest. He was the offering, and he was that who offered. That's why he was perfect. He was the priest king. Hallelujah. And the precious Lamb of God. When we see him, we'll see, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. That bloody Lamb. Just for me and you and everybody who wants to enter into that. Thank you, Jesus. The perfect sacrifice. And again, once for all. Once for all. It is finished. Don't insult God to think that there again is something that we need to do. He who is free with him is free indeed. Live the liberty that's in Christ Jesus. Don't get caught up into bondage thinking that something needs to be done again. That you can fall out of his hand. That you could pluck yourself from the love of God. It's from everlasting to everlasting. It's endless. And there's nothing that can separate us from it. Hallelujah. Christ on the cross performed the work. And he didn't stop until he said, "It's finished." Praise God. Verse 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. This is the qualifications of the high priest. And the first one we read here is compassion on the ignorant. I'm ignorant. I've been called that many a time. You get out in the business world, or you get out in education land, or college plaza or whatever, and they find out you believe in Christ, you're ignorant. How you doing, brother? Love you. They think something's wrong with you. But there is something wrong with me. I'm in love. Amen. I'm in love with Jesus. And I'm so thankful He's captivated me. That's right. I'm an alien to this place. You know it. I don't fit in here. You know? I don't want to fit in here. I want to seek peace with all men. As best as lies in me. And I want Jesus to work that in my life. That they can see the love of God. But I'm going to be who I am by the grace of God. I am what I am. You are what you are by the grace of God. Don't try to be holy. It's not going to work. He'll make you holy. He'll make you righteous. It's Him. Praise God. But He had compassion on the ignorant. He had pity and interceded for us. Christ enters in with our feelings. He was tempted, as we said, in every way. He was touched with us. And He cares. And that's the throne of God. That's where, by the grace of God, we dwell. I'm thankful I can go there every day. I'm thankful I do go there every day. Because I need to go there every day. I don't know about you, but I have needs and problems every day. His salvation's new every day. I want to wear out that path to the throne of God. If I don't believe I'm there, if things are that good, there's something wrong again. And if it is that good, be thankful. And it is that good in a way because we have Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But those that are out of the way, and He cares for us. Hallelujah. For He cares for His sheep. And it's a loving hand. When we get out of the way, when we get out of the truth, when we get out of the joy of the Lord, it's a loving hand. Aren't you thankful it's a loving hand? Don't think that God's sitting there waiting to swat you. That's not Christ. That's not how the Lord works. Yeah, whom He loves, He chastens. But really, if you think about the chastening, that's when we're really in the will of God. People don't get that. When you're in the will of God is when He's going to challenge your faith. And as odd as it sounds, it's because when He challenges your faith, that's what pleases Him. We're going to have to talk to the Lord about that someday, aren't we? Say, now, I don't know about that, but it's impossible to please Him without faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. This is why, again, so important to get together and listen to the things of God. Listening to the Word, each chance we get. It's a precious time to come together. Hallelujah. I love looking into the eyes of my brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. So, it's in tenderness that He leads us back. Just as that prodigal son. Again, thinking of that this week is just meditating on that. Christ runs to us. Don't think that He turns around and you left me. He never forsakes us. No, He doesn't. He runs to us. He's never moved, but I'll tell you what. When you take that step back towards Christ, I don't care what you've been in. He runs to you. And He covers you. Isn't that precious? He covers you. And it didn't stop there, did it? He says, here, let me get all the rewards out of my pockets and just hand them to you. Isn't that awesome? What an awesome God we serve. Get out of the bondage. Get into grace. And that's what He has for you. That's what He has for us. To have that relationship. But you think of the other son. There was the prodigal out there. But there was that son that was with his daddy in the throne room. He was there in the kingdom. What happened to him? He got bitter. Don't be the bitter son either. Allow the grace of God to work in you no matter where you're at. Whether you're straying from the flock or whether you're in the flock. Love your brother. That's it. That's the Philadelphia love, bringing that back in. And you know, as I was sitting there, and I'm not going to be shy about these things. We had as we know, we had a split in this church so many years back. And it's over, obviously, our wonderful pastor, who by the grace of God is in the throne room tonight. Before thee and thee only have I sinned. You need to read Psalm 51. Go read. That was David. That was David after Bathsheba. Okay? It didn't say that he went to Uriah's family and started talking to them and went back to the people and went all that. He went to God. Understand that. Know that for yourself. Know that for yourself. If you don't understand that, you don't understand the grace of God. You don't understand boldly before the throne of grace. You don't understand the throne room. Now let's take the other side of that. If you're in here, and please listen. Listen, this is the Lord talking to me. He's talking to you. If you're in here and you're still harboring bitterness at somebody that might be still caught into that, you're just as wrong. You're just as wrong. Do you understand that? The love of God isn't working effectually in your life. This is about winning Him. It's not about standing on principles or what I believe or this is right and this is wrong. This is talking about the love of God. If I don't know how to rejoice in my Lord as He forgives me, as I've made a step back to Him, if I don't know how to rejoice in the Lord as I see my brother coming back, I've got a problem. I'm not loving as He loves. I don't have the overcoming love. I'm not sorry to say this. I'm not sorry to say it. You need this in your life. I need this in my life. Praise you, Jesus. Yeah. He's compassed with our infirmities. He took upon Him our infirmities, and He remained sinless. He conquered them all. And this gives us hope to yield to Him under any trial or affliction, because Jesus truly knows. When we're weak, we're strong, aren't we? Isn't that precious how Paul, was that the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians? I glory in my infirmities. See, I'm glorying in that weakness. I know, Lord, You need to come into that. Okay? But why? He was sly like a fox. He says, because when I'm weak, I'm strong. And because when I'm glorying in my infirmities, that's when the power of Christ comes upon my life. Isn't that awesome? Because you can't do it. I was speaking to a young man today in the office. He said, the Lord He's got me so low, I can't go no lower. I said, praise God, what an opportunity. I said, you better seize this opportunity right now, because you may never be in that condition again. You get it? Really? The enemy may allow you to get a little bit up. Get down. Get low. You get down into that place and God can do something in your life. That's a victory that's ready to happen. You're ready to run. You're ready to look up and say, Lord, I can't look any more down. I'm below down. Looking up. Looking to Him. Praise God. Verse 3. And by reason hereof, He ought, as for the people, so also for Himself, to offer for sins. Here again, His weakness of the Levitical priesthood. Magnifying the need of a better, superior high priest, which is Christ. And the reason, says here, for the people. He had to come between them and God, one with no guilt, one with no sin, having the divine favor of God. But notice it didn't end there. It said, so also for Himself. I love that. Jesus didn't just do it for you and me. He did it for Himself. There was a joy that was set before Him. And that joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. That was you. That was me. He looked out. You could see him, and I can see him with his father in the ages past. He's looking down there, and he said, look at all these ones. Can you imagine, son, you get to go do that? You get to go die for them. Now, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be horrific. But there's a joy, and there's a sweetness that you can't even imagine because we haven't even entered in with him yet. In the fullness, I can't imagine. Praise God. How precious. And again, that's in Hebrews 12, too. How precious. It's all right here contained in this wonderful chapter. If we just had this, if we even just get this, hallelujah. But Christ needs us and he wants us to step into his riches, into glory, and to share it all with us. Verse 4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself. No man, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. The office of the priesthood was a great honor. You think of it. This was, again, the man, by the grace of God, that was chosen to stand in the place of standing between God and man. That's an overwhelming thought right there. Thankful I don't have to do that. I'm thankful I have Christ. Say, Jesus, make intercession for me. And he's already doing it. I didn't even have to ask. He's there doing it. Remember what we read over and over last week? He's there. He's in the throne. He's talking to the Father. He's just telling him how much he loves us. And notice that he called. Such an important word. Called. The most important part of the qualification. And let it speak to us about our service with the Lord. May it be his calling, his leading, his will. Huh? See, this is our will completely submitting to God's. All ministry is of Christ. From the apostles, he sent them, to the disciples, to us. It hasn't changed. Is Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? It's his calling. There's no man that seeks him. He's got to draw you even to worship. Ooh, I hope we understand that. We don't want wood, hay, and stubble. We want precious stone. Precious stone. Hallelujah. Those are the things that will be forever. Forever. May it be his calling, his leading. I remember it's so precious. I'm sure many of you, Brother Hill, talking about that one, you know, that was so excited, that guy he was talking to. He said, oh, Lord, Brother Hill, the Lord showed me this great vision. Ah, I was there and it was just so vivid. I saw the big GP in the sky. Oh, Brother Hill. It's go preach. Go preach. Here I go. Go preach. Brother Hill knew from the Lord. He just said, you know, brother, I believe it says go pray. Okay? Go pray. And even if you're preaching, I'm looking up there and it says, go pray. Amen. So again, it's his calling, his leading. Verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son. Today have I begotten thee. And again, that's so anti our nature. When we have position in life, what happens? Oh, look at me. Magnify myself. I'm important. I've got something here. See, we want to be seen. We want to be famous when it's in our own. See, that's how we know that it's of God. He made himself of no reputation. Okay. Now, however large the Lord wants this assembly to be by his grace, it's going to be. Amen. But in a lot of ways, I just believe there's only so many that are going to really run for the prize. We want everybody to run. I don't care what the what the marker or moniker or whatever they call it on the door is. God loves the people. Okay. But we know the truth. You know the word of God. And he wants people to know the word of God. Yes. Praise the Lord. But it's so anti our nature. See? But when we're trying to be known or famous or things like that, those aren't godly traits. And we need to beware. Because there's something anti to God that's leading your life when that's going on. Even in our, you know, day to day. Remember, you have a testimony. You have a ministry. Think of that. And again, it's not being holy, it's allowing him to work holiness in you. through the Lord. Hallelujah. But think of this. The great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Turn to Philippians 2:7. With that thought in mind. Philippians 2:7. But God made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, look at all these things he did. He humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. No reputation. Took the form of a servant in the likeness of men. He humbled and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. It's amazing. Who are we? If I don't just glory in that I'm a son of God because I believe in him, I've got a woeful life if I thought anything else made me anything. Praise God. But then you keep reading. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Now let this speak to you. You get here with Jesus. You get yourself, really, by the grace of God. It says humble yourself. If God humbles you, he'd kill you. See, when you go in the throne room, you're thankful, you're bold, you're all of that. But there's a thankfulness and humility when you're there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, you're in the, you know, I am. My brain stopped. I mean, I can't imagine. You know? But humility. But now look what he can do for us. Look what he did for his son. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now I want you to think there about that bride as she's coming down. She's got a glory. She's got the righteousness of saints. Do you see what Jesus is going to do by the grace of God if you'll let him do that in your life? Do you see that this same exaltation, this same glory we can share in? I pray we're seeing that. I mean, this book of Hebrews is about this stuff. There is a better. There's some that are going to have palms. There's some that are going to be standing before the throne. And again, seated in the throne with him. That can be ours by the grace of God. Given him a name which is above every name. And see, he can write on you a new name. Read the Church of Philadelphia, those Philadelphia saints there. There's going to be a name on them. His name? You think that's written over you? I mean, I don't mean to be silly, but Mrs. Jesus, I mean, it really is. That's the bridal name. I don't know what it is. New Jerusalem, it says. But can you imagine that? Praise God that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. He's going to make them know that he loved us, didn't he? Think of this again. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Again, to the glory of his wonderful, wonderful Father. Now, it says, thou art my son. And it says, again, in my note here, that refers to Psalm 2:7. And as we studied in Hebrews 1:6, and it refers to Acts 13:33, and let's read that because this is so important because many people will try to confuse you with this. But turn to Acts 13:33, where again, this is today, this day have I begotten thee, the only begotten. Again, what this is about. See, a lot of people will come at you, or some, I shouldn't say a lot, but some Christians will come at you and say that Jesus was a created being. No. Word of God doesn't even. Do you read John in the beginning? It was the work of his fingertips. He created it all. He's forever. He's Alpha, not the Alpha, it's just Alpha. He's beginning. He's end. That's your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, begotten. God hath fulfilled the same. This is Acts 13:33. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And notice again, it says, raised up Jesus again. To be begotten is to obtain. This is when God obtained Christ as a man, when he was on the cross, put him on the throne at his right hand, and he became the high priest. This is what this is. That's begotten. He was obtained. All right? So just know that for yourselves in the Word of God, and it will explain itself. This is when Jesus again was raised into heaven and he was obtained. And that personal son was made the great high priest. And again, sitting down on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Verse 6. And as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let's turn to Psalms 110, verse 4. Psalms 110, verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And again, just to emphasize, this is Paul speaking to his kinsmen. He loves, remember, he was the apostle for the Gentile, but he didn't stop there. He was for everyone. Hallelujah. And this again was to his precious kinsmen. Proving over and over and over through the Word of God. That's why when people says, well, I just believe the Old Testament. Well, it's a shadow of everything that's in the New Testament. If you believe the Old Testament, you believe in Jesus. If you believe the Old Testament, because everything pointed to Him. He fulfilled everything in here. And again, this is how Paul was. Brilliant man. But more importantly, brilliant in the Scriptures. More importantly, brilliant in grace, quickened in love and knowledge and wisdom of God, able to go back through here. They couldn't argue. They were pricked to the heart. They were enlightened. They saw, they handled it. But what did they do? They didn't believe. We're going to get into that again. Ye must believe. Not just observe, not just whatever. Mm-mm. By the grace of God, believe. And again, that's for us in the promises. And the promises of God that are ours, the ones that are for us, we need to, by the grace of God, believe. Okay. So Melchizedek was the type of Christ. And it was the type because he was the priest king. Aaron was a shadow, but Christ, again, the priest king. Turn over to Genesis 14, 18. This is, again, about this Melchizedek. Genesis 14, 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Okay. Now, if you have a Scofield Bible, there's a wonderful note, one, and I'm going to read this for you, that he references here. It says, Melchizedek, type of Christ, the king priest. The type strictly applies to the priestly work of Christ in resurrection. Since Melchizedek presents only the memorials of sacrifice, bread and wine. After the order of Melchizedek refers to the royal authority and unending duration of Christ's high priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood was often, I love how he says this, was often interrupted by death. You get that there, right? Because, you know, whether it was Aaron or Samuel or whoever that was, they died. But they really didn't die. They just fell asleep in Christ, right? Amen? Okay. But in a sense, just like Jesus said, you guys don't understand this. Lazarus is dead, right? Even though he's sleeping, he's dead because you guys don't understand it. But they died. They ended, at least their priesthood did. But see, Christ was forever. And then it says, Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, as king of righteousness, king of peace, and in the endlessness of his priesthood. But the Aaronic priesthood typifies his priestly work. Praise God. And he did have those faithful ones that he had chosen. Again, God had called, chosen to take that place. Let me talk about on 6. Verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. This is Christ as a human. And referring to him in the garden, and let's do read Luke 22. I'm going to wear out those Bibles, thank the Lord. 22, verses 42 through 44. It's important that we read this, not just write this down. It's saying, and this is Christ saying, Father, and this is Him in the garden. If thou will be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Think of that in your trials, the things you're going through. You know, ask the Lord to get you to this place. This is the same Spirit that encouraged your wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, that He's given to us. You'll have power after the Spirit's come upon you. You got the Holy Spirit. You have this power. Greater things. Do you believe that? Do you believe what Christ said? Greater things than what you've seen in me. The Holy Spirit's going to do. Can you imagine that? We're going to talk about that, Lord willing, on Sunday. Okay. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This is your Lord. This is what, thinking of each one of us. Each one of us. Omniscient, omnipresent. Man, I'm telling you. He saw us there. Praise God. And He became death and He took our sins and He saved us. And He was heard. Because He feared. And fear means trusted. That word feared in the Greek means trusted. He really trusted. Yeah, Christ really trusted God. He said, for your strength, for your power. Hallelujah. And this is how we need to pray. This is belief. Remember how we've been talking. Remember how Hebrews been. Are we in unbelief? Are we standing in belief? It's that simple. It's that fine of a line. You don't kind of believe. I was getting after my wife. I was explaining something to her today. Well, I kind of understand. Well, no, you don't kind of understand. You either understand or you don't. See, the Lord's teaching me patience. Stop it. I love her. It's amazing she still loves me. But that's it. It's either unbelief or it's belief. You either accept a promise, you live it, you understand it. It's God or mammon. It's the enemy or it's victory. It's so clear. Praise God. Encourage us on, Lord. Christ suffered body and soul for us. His grieving was beyond any ever. To face death. Become sin for us who knew no sin. And again, He voluntarily entered that. He gave up the ghost. He had to be willing to die. Devil couldn't kill Him. He had to give it up. One of misery. One of wretchedness. And no one will ever conceive or comprehend. Ever. What He went through. You know, they got movies out there. They have plays. They have all these things. You know, and that's nice. I'm thankful at least there's some type of remembrance there. This is never going to get it. This is the only thing that's ever going to see it. This is, it cuts to the heart, doesn't it? Hallelujah. If I don't see it here, I'm never going to get it. But I can enter into that suffering. And I want to enter into that suffering. I'm not kidding around. I want to enter into that. See, that's great love. See, there was a joy that was set before Him. But you know, there's a joy set before us. And it's Him. And it's winning Him. It's the joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's just amazing how sobering the love of God can be. Thank you, Lord. Verse 8. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Here is declared, He's the Son of God. Exalted above every name, above angels, above Moses, above Aaron, the I Am. Creator of the universe. By Him, all things consist. All things hold together. You think you're ever keeping something together? Oh, I'm keeping it together. I'm keeping my family together. No, you're not. You're a knucklehead. You think you're keeping your business together. I've got lots of good sayings. I'm not going to say them here, but you know, you're not. Okay? You're not. Lord's trying to deliver me probably from some of those sayings. Okay. But Philippians 2:8, He humbled and became obedient to death of the cross. But notice again, He learned obedience, didn't He? He learned obedience. This is Jesus. He was never disobedient in anything. If you think about it, He wasn't disobedient. But yet He learned obedience. That's amazing stuff. And He performed the most obedient act ever, ever. In His obedience to the cross. Didn't have to, in a sense. Didn't have to. But for the joy that was set before him. And in a way, when that joy was set before him, he had to. And that's you. That's me. Do you realize how special you are? You don't think somebody loves you? You go home and say, oh, nobody loves me. No, don't say nobody loves you. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I hope you know Jesus. Because this is what he's singing to you. This is what he's trying to tell you. The joy that was set before him. He couldn't deny that cross. Thank God. Thank God. Obedience deeper into God's will. Into the very heart of God. And we can have that kind of obedience. Again, it draws you with love. It's not fear. It's not fear. It's a kind. It's a loving hand. When you love Jesus, you want to do the things of God. When you love Jesus, you want him to perform his will in you. Amen. You become a different person. You do. You become spirit man. We always talked about that with the kids. It's like, when you become saved, God puts your new creation. But you get spirit man. He's thinking, little spirit man. He's little. He's like a little baby. But he's in me, and that's great. Now he's got to grow up, and I want him to fill up every bit of my body. I know it's crazy, but see, I'm ignorant. And that's how God deals with me. But I want him to go through my whole body. I want him living in me. I want that love of God by the Holy Spirit shed abroad my full heart, my full life. Because I'm starting to see things that he wants to have for me. Praise God. But he was obedient. And again, by that it shows us that we should learn through our afflictions to become humble, submissive, and to be obedient to God. And how awesome, I had a little note here, that he was made perfect. Again, he was made perfect for us in sin and death. Again, that he had to die to have victory over death. It's just so opposite of how our minds think. That's our Lord. Hallelujah. To become our salvation. Praise God. And here's the benefit, verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Okay? In that he was made the perfect sacrifice. It was done. It was completed. Hebrews 2:10. He's the captain. Aren't you thankful? You better make him, by the grace of God, the captain of your ship. Or allow him to be the captain of your ship. He is the captain of your salvation. You can't go there with him. He's already got that. But by the grace of God, let him captain your ship. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. That he is the captain to lead us into the glory and the riches. And notice here that he authored it. He wrote you and me in it. Sons of God, seated with him right now. Do you see yourself there? I get glimpses of it. And then somehow, in unbelief, I'm back over there on the dunghill. And yet I'm a prince. I got this crown and I'm sitting over there. I know you don't go there. But you know what I'm saying. Think, oh, Lord, encourage us into these things. Praise God. But he was the author and finisher of our faith. And he's the author of our salvation. And again, the author of all our salvation. How much salvation are you going to allow him to pin in your life? Well, I'm already saved. You are saved if you have Christ in your heart. But this is talking about complete salvation. Remember, Brother Copley, as we brought out earlier, the ultimate sanctification. The ultimate salvation. The ultimate salvation we read about there in Revelation 3. To be kept from the hour of temptation. Be kept from the tribulation. You know what that is? That's the bride. That's to be caught up in the air. I think by the grace of God, we have people here that may live into the coming of the Lord, and not just live into the coming of the Lord, but be captured up together with him. To meet him in the air. That airborne saint. Now, if we miss that after hearing that, now Brother Hill said something about, well, see, you miss it. You're going to say, oh, Brother Hill, I missed it. Now, that's the time you would say, oh, Brother Hill, I missed it. You get to heaven, you're going to be satisfied. Okay, you are. But are you going to be satisfied as a baby? Babies are satisfied with lollipops, aren't they? Greatest thing I've ever seen, the two-year-olds, they'll be lining up here at the door here pretty soon. That's the greatest thing that could happen in a day. I don't see any adults doing that, though. No. And then a 16-year-old will be lining up to get a car out there pretty soon, right? Because that's the greatest thing that could ever happen. I remember when I was 16, I wanted a car more than anything. Car, 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 right? But as you get older, you understand the car just takes you from here to here. There's more things. You want a husband or a wife. You want kids. And then after you have, oh, never mind. But I'm just teasing. No, that's funny. I was just saying. And then after that, then you realize how brilliant and godly the Apostle Paul was. He says, no, better if you. No, I'm just teasing. Okay. It's a precious thing. See, I'm going to get myself in trouble. It's late. See, every time I get overtime, it happens. But it's the maturity of Christ. Do you understand where it's going with that? And the Bible talks all about that, is about the babes and about adults and about ones that aren't mature and that ones that need to be mature and all of that. They're still satisfied with it, is my point. And in heaven, if you're a babe that you enter in, you're going to be just satisfied completely because you're going to have basically the milk. Okay? Wonderful. Wonderful. However Christ is preached, therein I do rejoice. There's a body. Okay? There's talks about a body. Adam and Eve. The very first sign type of the bride of Christ. Right there. Boom. Okay? Here's Adam. Representing the church. Okay? His body. All right? Sleep goes on him. Let the Lord speak to you in these things. I know we know this, but let Him speak to you. Those that haven't heard this before, listen. Listen to what the Word of God's saying. Not me. This is in the Word of God. There's going to be a sleep on the church, and the church is sleeping right now. You get it? You see it? There's a form of godliness out there, but they deny the power of it. Okay? That's not even the church that we're talking about there. But there's a sleep coming on. You've got Christians that are saying, well, let's go to the all-faith worship, and we're going to worship a tree, a cow, a pig. I don't know what you're going to worship. It's awful. That's a sleepy church. And then out of that church, a rib was taken. There's a rib portion, small, close to the heart. Amazing. Praise God. And she was a full body in herself. And she didn't come out as a baby. Did she come out as a baby? No. She was fully grown. She was mature. Yeah. Perfect. Really. Oh, let that speak to you. Those that might have not heard that or whatever, lit, you know, the signs and types and shadows are all over this word. There's a better. There's a better. And it's not just here at Living Waters. It's not. But it's not preached too many places either. Okay? Know what we have by the grace of God, thankfulness, not arrogance. You start being arrogant about this stuff, you missed it. You're getting yourself in there. You're getting wood, hay, and stubble again. You're not getting the grace of God in your life that needs to be there. But how much are we allowing Him to pin in our lives of that salvation, of that ultimate sanctification? Is it a little bit or is it complete? Are we letting things slip, as it said in the second chapter of Hebrews? Are we neglecting so great a salvation? How great Thou art. How You love me. My great High Priest. Always making intercession. Well, at these moments, it's like, Lord, I just wish I had more to say. I wish I had a better body to give You praise. Hallelujah. But someday, you know. But it's your choice. It's your choice. Are you going to have a numerable multitude? Are you going to have palm in your hand? Or are you going to have Jesus arm in arm? See, when you're in that throne with Him, see, I can hold Him. I can put my arms around him. I so appreciate our pastor when he went to be with the Lord. His arms were around him. Go talk to those 14 disciples. They'll tell you. His arms were right around him. You don't think he sends us types and signs. You're crazy. You're crazy. But again, it's your choice. It's a free will. He was equal to God, and yet he obeyed. And how much more we should obey, really, in thankfulness and love, because we're so inferior. We're so inferior, so needy, so inadequate. But by obeying, we triumph. We can have his power, his glory. We can wear a crown. It says, hold that fast, that thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And someday, by the grace of God, I'm going to wear that crown with him. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And this is significant for his best. Again, that it's by grace, just as Christ served God. It was by grace. It was empowered in the Holy Spirit that he obeyed. That same power he gives to us to obey. In all points he was tempted. In all points he was tried. Let that same power work in us. Now, I'm not going somewhere where you're saying, well, that means I'm going to live a sinless life? No way. Paul said, don't let sin reign in your life. He knew that. But there's an overcomer that can be developed in your life. It's that spirit man. That's the overcomer. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? But that doesn't mean you give up on it. That doesn't mean you just sin willfully that grace may abound. We want to live ultimate grace, which takes you to ultimate sanctification. Isn't that awesome? When you know it's all in him. See, when we give it to him, when we cease from our own works, we enter into his rest. When we're in his rest, he does the work. And it's just an awesome thing what can be produced, right? Well, let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for loving us. Lord, just help us to heed your word. It's so powerful. It convicts. It changes things. Lord, if we want power in our life, we just thank you because this is it. And Lord, we again thank you for these hearts that love you. We just ask again that you take this in love and just work it effectually in each life here. Thank you again for the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen.